All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
What's up? Living the dream, baby. Living the dream.
My man, we're at episode 92.
88 to go.
88 to go. And I don't want to tease anyone, but
right.
You have some of the biggest news to hit news since news. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty excited to type these two headlines into the show notes. I was so excited that I couldn't even contain myself. I was at a party Saturday night, and I had to tell the whole party about it.
Whoa.
I'm not sure they were as excited about it as I was.
Did you get up on the table and ding the cup? Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. I was like, listen up, bitches.
I got the news.
I got the news. All right. So what? We dig right into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
I mean, big news like this, you can't just wait around.
I'm not playing.
All right. I know every time I see you,
yeah,
you're like, how about the Meg?
Every time.
Every time I see you, you're like, how much longer till the Meg 2? And I'm always like, David, we can't even start talking about the Meg 2 until it has a director.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here to tell you, my friend,
we've arrived. Oh!
The Meg 2 has landed. Get it? The Meg 2 has landed its director, none other than the acclaimed Ben Wheatley.
Wheatley. Would you say that this is a sink or swim production? How many people just turned off the podcast?
Right. He can hear me. He can hear it clicking.
Nah.
Meg 2, The Trench.
The Trench.
Yeah.
What other things has Ben Wheatley done?
He did Rebecca, which is on Netflix now, or Prime, or one of those. I think it looks – I think I was actually reading – not reading. I was like clicking on the little summary for Rebecca, and I thought it looked pretty good. I haven't quite decided if I'm going to actually watch it yet or not, but that's the current movie that he has out. So I don't know. I mean, it's funny because we sit here and make fun of the Meg, but first of all, didn't we both enjoy it?
Yeah, I saw it 3 times. Yeah.
And then second of all, David, we've talked about this before. There's some things that you don't need to tell everybody.
It just pours out. It's, my heart's just open like that.
In middle school, they called it oversharing. So we both liked it. We may or may not have watched it multiple times. But the thing that was funny to me about this headline is it came, I forget sort of how it came across my feed, but I clicked on it. And then when I clicked like referral, like when I sort of typed it into Google later, like it's a made, like everybody's talking about it. I mean, it's on the Hollywood Reporter, it's on Variety, it's on, you know, all this sort of mainstream sites. Like I thought Meg was like kind of a quirky, like, not, I don't want to say a cult film, but I thought it was like, you know, I didn't realize that anybody, like, honestly, I didn't realize that anybody cared. I didn't think they cared that Meg 2 was coming, and I really didn't think they cared that Meg 2 got a new director.
Right. Wasn't the Meg like a surprise hit, even though it didn't feel like one?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. Now, David.
Oh. Uh-oh.
That's pretty big news.
It's huge news.
You would think that you could hardly even get bigger than that kind of news.
I didn't think we could.
Oh, but you can.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
Are you sitting down?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The cat's not even nearby.
Oh, good, good, good. The donut
Hold on,
king.
I'm not ready. Okay.
Faster. You get me every time. The Donut King.
Yeah.
The much anticipated documentary that you assumed. I know whenever, every time we talk about the Donut King, you're always like, well, this will be in New York and LA.
Right.
I have news for you. This is going to be in New York, LA, and Lititz.
Whoa.
What?
Check that out.
Yeah, it's like that. So the Donut King, you, like, all kidding aside, I guess people probably haven't heard about it. It's a documentary that is brand new, and it's about a Cambodian refugee named Ted, I don't know how to pronounce the last name. Ngoy. Is that like we, I think?
Yeah, maybe.
So anyway, my boy Ted here builds a multi-million dollar donut empire. Oh. And this documentary is the true story, and it has won all kinds of awards. It was a huge hit out of South by Southwest. And this is what caught my eye about this is, first of all, it's a fascinating true story. But second of all, the thing that caught my eye about this is, and I thought of you when I read the somebody else sort of made this observation, and I immediately thought, David has to watch this movie. They tell this story a la Into the Spider-Verse.
What?
It's like part documentary and then parts of the guy's story they tell doing animation.
Oh.
And they go to like different types of animation, and they go to like fantasy, and then they interview like real people and like the whole nine yards. But I think this movie, I think this movie is going to be really, really unique and different. And this is going to be one of those movies that I'm not sure anybody's going to come to see it, but the people who see it are going to be talking about it.
Yeah.
And remember it for a long time. I think it's an exciting pickup. I can't, it opens in Lititz on October 30th. If it does well, I would certainly try to book it in Huntington Valley and Wilmington.
Wow.
Yeah. So the Donut King is coming to Lititz.
We'll talk about the trailer here in a second, but I'll give you a little sneak peek.
All right.
After it was over, I thought I could really go for a donut. So
yeah, that happens.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of directors, director Justin Lin will return to direct Fast and Furious 10 and 11, which are likely to tell one final epic story set over two films. I'm expecting giant battles, space. They're going to space. They have to go to space. I mean, what's left?
It's the final frontier.
Right? Yeah.
I feel like I heard that somewhere.
And everyone's going to come back. I bet everyone who's dead, somehow alive. That's my guess. And they're all going to come together. It's going to be like the on your left scene from Avengers Endgame, like every 10 minutes. Like, what are we going to do here? And someone's going to be like,
right,
what if I stepped in? And they'll have like a hot rod,
right,
revving their engine. They're like, oh my gosh, it's the guy from the first movie. You know? Yeah.
All right, that's cool. I'm down. I'm excited to hear more about Fast and Furious 10 and 11. Do we have dates for that, or is it like Avatar Land?
Avatar Land, because 9 hasn't even come out yet. It was supposed to come out this year, so.
Right, right. Yeah. Okay. All right, that's all well and good, but you got any Spider-Man news for us?
Oh, last week we talked about this, didn't we? Tobin Maguire and Andrew Field Garfield.
Right.
We're going to be in Spider-Man 3.
Andrew Garfield,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Sony came out and they were like, hold up.
Nah, brah.
Nah. Wait till you get this official statement that totally sets everything in stone and gives you 100%, you know, exactly what's going on. Sony says...
Clarity.
Yeah, clarity to the max. Those rumored castings are not yet confirmed. That is a direct quote from Sony. So what that basically says is this is happening. Someone just broke it a little too early to me. I mean, right?
Yeah, I think, yeah, no, I totally agree. I think I think it means what you said. And what that means is that they're still negotiating with Tobin Maguire and Andrew Garfield.
Yeah. Now, I heard that Tobin, part of the thing that was kind of holding it back is he wants more screen time out of the suit to act. Supposedly that's one of the things that's holding it back. So we'll see. I don't know. I kind of thought it would just be like a climax guest appearance type
almost
thing.
Almost like a cameo.
Right, but I guess maybe it'll be a little bit larger than that.
Huh. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Yeah, me too. It's. I almost feel like it's a little early to do like something this big. Like I feel, I guess they only have so many movies to use Spider-Man in before it goes to Sony or whatever. It gets more and more difficult over time, but it's kind of like, to make the analogy between this and like the X-Men First Class, like they came out strong, they should have had like one more movie and then done Days of Future Past where they brought the crews together as like their chapter 3 penultimate thing, but instead they did it chapter 2, and as a result number 3 was how can you live up to chapter 2 type thing. So
Isn't it frustrating that nobody's as smart as us?
I know. I keep saying that. People just are like, whatever, but come on.
All right. Now, on the topic of ridiculous, like, I resent the fact that we even have to report on this.
I knew this would make you mad.
You know, it's just irritating because, like, I don't know. Like, what was that movie? Oh, it was so good. They filmed the entire movie with in one shot. I think it might have had Michael Keaton in it.
1917?
What's that?
Was it 1917?
No, I mean, that also was that. But I'm talking, it was a couple years older than that. It took place in New York City in a theater. And there's this one scene where he's being interviewed by the press in his backstage dressing room.
Birdman.
What a masterpiece.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's like my favorite movie or whatever, but it was a freaking masterpiece. I haven't watched it since it came out. I should rewatch it. We all should. Anyway, Birdman, he's getting interviewed in the dressing room and the press says, do you eat sheep brains for good luck? Or it was some ridiculous something along those lines. And Michael Keaton or whoever the actress looks at him like that was the most ridiculous thing ever. And then the reporter goes, okay, so you deny it. And the guy's like, I'm not denying it. I'm just, oh, so you don't deny it. What? You know, the headline is like, Michael Keaton denies eating sheep brains for good luck. Like, you know, there's some things that like are just so offensive. You shouldn't have to deny them because nobody should be asking you if, you know, this is true. So with that spirit in mind, here's the sheep brain eating headline that came across my newsfeed, and I thought, surely nobody would be stupid enough to have this conversation, and they certainly wouldn't put it in the show notes of any self-respecting podcast.
Clearly not. So it's a good thing
you
have this on here.
And yet, David, here we are. Here we are talking about, let me just ask you, do you eat sheep brains for good luck before the podcast?
I can neither confirm nor deny that I've eaten anything today.
All right. What we're talking about is the ridiculous rumor that everybody and their brother, because I saw it on multiple websites, was talking about MGM exploring the option to take No Time to Die direct to streaming. Apparently, the price of $600 million was too much, plus there were distribution deals and marketing promotions, et cetera. They'd have to buy all new banners, as we've discussed on the show a number of times. A whole another round of stickers coming soon to Netflix to put on your standee in the hallway there. This is a bogus story. I will say one thing we've learned over the last 9 or 10 months is that we know nothing. Right.
Yeah.
So I guess it's possible that No Time to Die ends up streaming, but what the company needs from this picture and what the streaming services are like, Quibi you know, went tits up and they're out. Everybody's out. You know, they're dying like flies. And so there is a ceiling, you know, that people will pay to get new movies into their streaming platforms. So with all that being said, No Time to Die is still slated for April 21st of 2021. And the rumor that was related to this story that I did think was unfortunately interesting was there was another movie like right before No Time to Die that got moved from March to the summer.
Okay.
I forget what movie it was, but it was a major movie, like it was a big title. And I didn't really think anything of it until somebody pointed out that title moving leaves open the unfortunate possibility if Warner Brothers gets scared and decides to move Wonder Woman, they now have a good slot to move it to.
Oh.
They could move it to March. Now, with that being said, Warner Brothers has consistently, both behind the scenes and also on the record, been saying that Wonder Woman is coming out on Christmas Day, period. So that seems to be pretty locked in. But all this sort of speculation about what's going to happen this spring does create a variety of unfortunate possibilities. Hmm. None of which is Mr. Bond streaming.
Yeah, whether or not it was true, that price tag is just insane. Like, how would they make their money back for that, these streaming services? I mean, there's only so many customers, right?
I mean, the streaming wars, like any war, cannot go on forever.
Right.
Right? I mean, we went through this the last couple of years. We've watched the platforms killing themselves, trying to get content and establish themselves. And we saw Quibi go by the wayside. And, you know, I think we're going to see more and more consolidation. So your point is exactly spot on, which is that at some point, it is too expensive. You can't pay Hollywood prices for TV shows.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So moving on, Apple streaming.
Speaking of streaming.
Yeah. And A24, which seem to be sitting kind of close together these days.
Yeah.
Because they made the movie we watched 2 weeks ago, On the Rocks.
Yeah.
And I think some others. They're looking to make a Bride of Frankenstein remake starring Scarlett Johansson as the bride. Hey, I love Scarlett Johansson. I like A24. Bride of Frankenstein seems interesting. Why not?
Why not?
Apparently, this would be a theater and streaming release, like they've been doing with some of their stuff. Interesting note here is while it will be written by the same guy who is writing Wolfman for the Warner Brothers, it will not be related to the Warner Brothers monster movies.
It'll be like a standalone?
Yeah, it won't be under the same umbrella. So, yeah.
I think that's cool. I like stories like this. It doesn't particularly matter to me. I like Scarlett Johansson, obviously.
Yeah.
She's talented. I do like A24. To me, what's my favorite part of this story is the fact that it sounds a little bit normal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It sounds a little bit like business as usual, which is what I'm just dying to get back to.
Right.
Yeah. Right. All right. That's all the news that's fit to print.
It's time to move on to trailers.
Shall we?
Yeah. Let's start off with the big one that we kind of talked about already. The Donut King.
This is the big one. Yeah. Everybody knew what you meant. You didn't have to say when you said the big one, everybody was like, oh, good. They're going to talk about the Donut King.
Right off the bat.
Right.
I thought this is a great trailer. I thought this movie looks great. Looks interesting. I definitely want to see it. Not my trailer of the week, but close second.
Oh, what about Raya?
Okay. Raya is my trailer of the week.
I could have called that from a mile away.
The music.
And I agree, by the way. This is an incredible trailer.
Yeah. When it first started, I was like, she kind of looks weird. Her head's a little bit big for her body. But as the trailer went on, I was like, man, this looks like fun.
Yeah, I mean, this movie is going to be amazing. Disney. I love it. It comes out. Oh! This is the movie that got moved.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure that this movie got moved from March to like summertime.
Interesting.
I might be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure that I'm right. And that's what sparked the speculation about, you know, oh, that could open the door for Wonder Woman or somebody else.
Right.
But anyway, I don't want to digress. The movie is called Raya and the Last Dragon. It comes out apparently in March of 2021 or maybe later, but this is a big Disney movie. This is exciting. And I'm with you. This is the trailer of the week. Even if you're not, you know, quote unquote into trailers, this is the one, you know, this is the one that you should make a minute to go watch this.
Right. Yeah. It looks good. I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah.
Next on the list we have is News of the World trailer, Tom Hanks film. Now, usually when you're like, Tom Hanks has got a movie coming out, I'm like, oh, really? But then I watched this trailer.
Wait, Tom who?
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
Oh, are you referring to Tom sell my Greyhound movie down the river to streaming right when theaters needed it the most, Hanks?
Oh, you know him.
Is that the same guy?
Same guy.
Yeah, same okay, guy. Good, great. Thanks a lot, Tom. Love you, babe.
Is it me? Or does this
Wait. Oh, my God. What if it turned out? How crazy would that be? What if it turned out that... Oh my God,
what?
David!
What
if it turned out that Tom Hanks secretly listened to this podcast?
He's at home crying. They called me a sellout.
They called me a sellout. They think I'm starting to suck like Clint Eastwood. Wait, what?
Huh?
What?
Whoa.
Oh, snap. Some people do not age well. Clint Eastwood did not age well. Tom Hanks is starting to piss me off. I'll just put it that way. You know, your bosom buddies were great.
Yeah.
Your Forrest Gump routine was great. Apollo 13 is wonderful. You're an American treasure. I'm sorry you got the Rona.
What do you think of this movie, though?
All right, it looks pretty good.
I don't think it does.
No?
No. Well, maybe it's a bad trailer.
Okay, I definitely agree. I don't like the trailer.
The trailer went on for so long that I was like, am I watching the movie? What's going on here?
I don't know. I guess... Here's two things that I take comfort in. I've already expressed my position on Tom Hanks. I don't like Tom Hanks anymore. Or at least I'll just say that he's temporarily on my shit list. Okay? Can we just say that? But this movie that we're talking about, News of the World, is a Western.
Yeah.
A legit Western. And it's being directed by the guy who directed Jason Bourne, The Bourne Ultimatum, The Bourne Supremacy, Captain Phillips. Remember Tom Hanks and Captain Phillips? I am the captain now. Right?
Yeah.
That was a pretty dope scene. I mean, that movie, Captain Phillips, if you missed it when it came out, I know we're all sort of watching maybe more movies. You know, I know a lot of people have more time on their hands, but Captain Phillips is a good one to watch. So I have some enthusiasm for Paul Greengrass. I'll give Tom Hanks the benefit of the doubt for now. I think he's a punk for turning soft on us, but we'll see. I don't know. I agree the trailer doesn't look great, but I don't care because I think the movie has a lot of promise.
Okay. Fun fact, I've never seen Captain Phillips, and I don't like any of the Bourne movies.
What?
Yeah.
I must have misunderstood you.
Yeah, I said it.
What's your problem with Bourne? I love, just so that we're clear.
Apparently.
I love the Bourne movies.
Most people do.
I think they are amazing.
I find them very boring and overproduced and snorefests and, oh, my pinky's out. I will say that I'm about to rewatch them very slowly because our Bond group is going to be watching the Bourne films next, so...
I am speechless.
Yeah.
First Tom Hanks disappoints, and now David Moulton.
What is the world coming to?
Two American treasures. Falling apart before your very eyes. I am shocked. I've never met anybody that doesn't like Bourne.
Well, I was hiding under your nose all this time.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you a fun little Penn Cinema fact.
Yeah.
For a number of years, let me look up what year. The Bourne Ultimatum came out in 2007, so that would be the second of the Bourne movies, I think. The Bourne Ultimatum held the record at Penn Cinema for the longest-running film for years.
Wow.
Because it was so popular. It was so universally popular, David. Universally, meaning everybody liked it.
I don't know. There's another movie that other people proclaim to like that I don't. It starts with a star and ends with a horse. It's pretty recent, so, you know.
Now you're just fooling around.
Yeah. All right.
All right. This movie, News of the World. If you care enough about movies to be listening to the Penn Cinema podcast, this movie needs to be on your radar because this is a big Western and it opens at all three locations on Christmas Day, December
25th. Ooh, competing with Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I mean, to me, that's a great lineup. Yep. You know, I don't even want to say like counter programming because I think a lot of people will see both of those movies. So, excuse me, it's not like counter programming, but it's definitely like they complement each other really well. I think if all we need now, and I think we have it, although I'm drawing a blank, is like a romantic, like a little bit of a drama or a romantic comedy or something like that.
Well, this one might fit right in that category if it holds out.
There you go. If this next movie is good, it opens on December 4th, and if it's good and it holds through Christmas, this definitely fits the bill. We're talking about a movie called All My Life. Did you get a chance to watch your trailer?
All my life, pray for someone like you.
I'll ask you again. How do you not have a record deal?
It's a crazy, right?
It's a crime.
With pipes like these?
Oh, yeah. My God.
I totally watched this trailer. Yeah.
You did not?
No, I did. I did.
And you thought?
Looks like it started off and I was like, come on, what is this? By the end of it, I was like, this is too emotional. I can't take it.
I totally had the same thing. Like, I thought the trailer was great. I think the movie's going to be great. I don't know if I have the emotional fortitude that will be necessary to watch this movie.
It looks rough. The whole part, he's like, if we get bad news, because he's getting sick, he's like, if we get bad news, we'll get a dog. She's like, no, we're not going to get bad news. And then 2 seconds later, he's like, hey, look, this new dog is ours. And her look on her face, she's like,
oh, my God. One thing that's interesting about this movie, and I don't know, maybe I'm like being problematic by mentioning this, but because the movie itself is not promoting this as something that's relevant, but a lot of people are observing, so I'm just sharing a common observation, that it's really great that the main male lead is an Asian guy. Mm. Yeah. And it's nice to see somebody in that role, you know, that handsome and, you know, well-liked and strong and vulnerable at the same time and all this kind of stuff. And so I think a lot of people are observing that this is a really good step in the right direction in terms of increasing diversity in Hollywood. So I'll just mention that. And honestly, I'm not trying to say like I think differently than anybody else, but like I didn't really notice that when I was watching the trailer. I thought exactly what I already told you I thought. But then when I was reading the comments, a lot of people commented on that. And yeah, that's pretty cool. I think that's a good step in the right direction. Not that this movie is going to be, you know, this is not one of those movies that everybody around the country is going to be talking about.
Right.
But it has all the right ingredients to do well. All My Life, December 4th.
Speaking of taking a step in the right direction.
Yes. Yeah. Go on.
Here's a step in a different direction for the movie called Skylines, but the last E is a number 3 because it's Skyline 3.
Okay.
Did you know there was a Skyline 2? Because I did not know that there was ever a Skyline 2. This movie comes to theaters and digital, which really means, in this case, it's just going to digital. Right. No theaters are going to show this. The movie looks like total trash. The costumes look horrible. If you want to laugh today at how bad some movies can look, go watch this trailer. I'll just stop with that. But moving on, we have another movie called Mank, which is a Netflix and theatrical release starring Gary Oldman as a writer in old-time Hollywood. Now, I know you didn't get the chance to see this trailer.
I actually did. When we were talking, I forgot that I had seen it, but now that we were once I got going and remembered it, I did, because it was sent to me by my guy from Netflix because he's trying to get me to book it.
Okay. Would you agree that this is one of the worst trailers ever made?
Didn't we do that a couple weeks? I don't know. Yeah. I would not. This is a bad trailer. It's not a great trailer. It did not make me want to book the movie.
It's just all it is scenes with a different conversation, not even a whole conversation, just clips of them saying what I guess they thought were poignant things in the background, just like half arguments about this and that and this and that. And you're just like, what are they talking about? What is this movie about? Why do I care? What's going on the screen?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
This is a question that's been weighing on me for years.
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 Yes.
I just need to get this off my chest.
Okay.
I'm glad we finally have a moment here, a quiet moment in the show. Just us girls. when we can get real. Can we get real for a minute?
Let's get real. Hold on, let me
play some. Can we get personal?
Oh. I need some real music. I don't have any.
The crickets.
Yeah.
The crickets, that's the more appropriate sound. What is our position on Gary Oldman?
What is our position on Gary Oldman?
Like, I can't decide for the life of me if I sometimes, you know, that episode of Seinfeld where he's dating the girl and in one light she's like gorgeous, and then in the other light he's like, ah, you know, he can't like stand to be near. That's how I feel about Gary Oldman. Sometimes I watch him and I'm like, oh, this man is an incredibly talented actor. I could watch him do anything. And then other times, just the sight of him makes me want to change the channel. And so I ask you, what is our position on Gary Oldman? Podcast at PennCinema.com, because I'm asking all of us, the community, the Penn Cinema podcast community, do we like Gary Oldman? Or are we supposed to – is he an American treasure?
Look, Gary Oldman's one of those guys where you see him in a movie and usually it's at that point in time when you can tell if the movie will be good or bad. Not because of him, but like when he shows up in the trailer or whatever, you're like, okay. Somehow having him in this movie either elevates it or lowers it a little bit. And you can always tell.
Right.
I don't know what part of it is that makes you tell, but it's just like that Seinfeld episode. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Did we love him in The Dark Knight?
I thought he was fine as Jim Gordon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, of course, he's great in Harry Potter.
Well, I didn't even know he was in Harry Potter.
Exactly. He plays.
Wait, are you messing with me? Was he in Harry Potter?
Yeah, he's in a bunch of them. He's Sirius Black.
And remember when I said, is he American? Is he an American treasure?
He's British, isn't he?
He's freaking British.
He's American as British tea.
I also didn't. I forgot. I knew it, but I forgot that he played Lee Harvey Oswald in JFK back in 1991. Do you remember JFK?
Yeah.
The movie. That was a good movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is a character actor that can disappear into a character. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah. Anyway.
And he has been in some of the highest grossing franchises ever, including, as you said, Harry Potter. As I said, The Dark Knight. He's also in Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey. Here's an example of where I loved him. I loved him in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Oh.
Did you see that movie?
I don't know that I have. No.
Ooh, yeah, stop what you're doing and go watch this movie.
Okay, I'll
Tinker
see you later.
Tailor Soldier Spy. It's a spy movie, and I'll just sit tight and make small talk with the podcast audience while you go watch
this movie. 2.5 hours.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, Mank is a movie that is kind of like The Irishman, where it's coming out on Netflix. They're looking for theaters to release it. I am undecided on whether or not I'm going to go ahead and book this movie.
Yeah.
I continue, as we said last week, but remember 2 weeks ago I made the joke, like, oh, if you're making any movie, send it to me and I'll play it. And I think last week I announced that I am no longer take that position. And this week I am doubling down on my last week's announcement as I continue to offload crap. You know.
Even you have standards.
I do. They're low. But if you dig deep enough, they're somewhere.
They're in there eventually.
They're in there. I'm not proud. I'm just saying. Everybody's just... got a point. All right. Movie review.
Yeah. All right. So
what'd you think, David? Tell us all about it.
All right. This movie, I didn't see it. I've had some medical stuff this week, so I didn't get out to see it. So I've been sick. I'm fine. Everyone calm down. Stop the presses. But I didn't get a chance to see it. However, Penn, did you get a chance to watch this movie?
I tell you what. The last few weeks, yes, I did. Okay. I did watch this movie.
All right. Okay, cool.
The last few weeks, I've had trouble. I don't watch the movie right away. And then all of a sudden, like, I have to try to find time Saturday night or Sunday morning, or I got stuff going on, and I'm like trying. All of a sudden, I'm like under this weird pressure, and it all of a sudden becomes almost like a burden. Like, oh, I got to watch this movie. Yeah. And that's not how I feel. That's not how I feel about the podcast. Everybody knows I love the podcast. Everybody knows I love watching movies. But then when you sort of combine like the pressure, you know, then yeah, a lot of times, you know, it does become like a little weird. So I watched this movie last Monday.
Oh, wow.
Like the day after we recorded the podcast, I went in, I booked all my shows, and then I teed it up for myself and watched it. And I have to tell you, well, a couple things. Do you remember when we talked about it last week? I was like, oh, this is like being on a going up a roller coaster.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Committed, you know, and there's no turning back now. And when the movie starts, it's this scene that you don't really understand what's happening, but this woman is literally like pushing some kind of a spike that you don't really know what it's for into her own skull, like piercing her skull and then giving herself some sort of electronic brainwaves. Okay. And it is nasty and scary and terrifying. So the longer this movie goes on, the more you realize I would not even really call this a horror movie.
Okay.
It was scary as hell, but it's really more like a science fiction movie or a thriller movie. The example that I always use is, you know, when you're watching like an R-rated horror movie and there's lots of blood and gore, and like somebody gets their head bashed in with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
And you sometimes even see the head get bashed in, but the camera then like immediately like goes to the head and then like flips back to the person with the bat. Right. And then goes on to like whatever the scene is. And you're like, oh, damn. Did you see that kid got smacked in the head with a bat? You know, his brains. Oh, yeah, I saw it. It was crazy. Well, in The Possessor, in that, to use that analogy, the camera would stay on the bashed head.
Ooh.
So it's like sustained. So in one scene, he takes a fire poker and jabs it into this guy's mouth. But it's not enough that he like jabs it into the guy's mouth. The camera stays on like the guy. And you see his like incredibly like destroyed head like twitching.
Ugh.
You know, and you see his teeth like fall out. It's incredibly graphic. So it's, I would not even, when the movie started, like the opening scene, I literally thought to myself, this is too scary. I'm not going to be able to watch this. Right. But the longer the movie went on, the less scared I was, the more I realized, once I had a sense of what was going on. I will say there was definitely a few times in the movie where I watched it you know, through my hand. Like, I held my hand up in front of my eyes and like peeked between my fingers, you know, to, because I was scared of what I was about to see. And it was gruesome. The violence was gore. There was a lot of sex and not always like in the cool way, not like in a sexy way, but just like in a real raw, like it like you didn't really even enjoy seeing it. It was just kind of offensive, and like it was like a very hard to watch movie. I will say this movie was rated R, and I do not disagree with some of the people who said maybe it should have been rated NC-17.
Wow.
Like it was a, like you've heard the, we've talked about this before, the expression, it's a hard R.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like some movies are a soft R because there's a bunch of F-bombs. You know, somebody says the F-word a few too many times, maybe somebody flashes a boob or something, and, you know, that gets an R rating. This is like what we in the business call, it's a hard R. Now, with that being said, let me talk about the actual movie. The movie was fascinating. The best way that I can describe this is it was a cross between The Matrix. You remember in The Matrix, they get into these pods and they get like things stuck to their head and they like essentially inhabit The Matrix. But right. The body is in a lab, for lack of a better word. It's in a safe scientific space where other people who are not seeing the world that our character is seeing are seeing our character laying still.
Right, right.
Did I describe that properly? So that's the part that reminded me of The Matrix. And then it's also like Inception, because there's this business of being paid to inhabit somebody, to take over somebody, to make them do something that your paying client wants them to do. So in other words, I'm a bad guy. Somebody comes in and pays me $2 million to go inhabit this person. And then while I'm inhabiting that person, I get them to kill their mother or, you know, rob a bank or whatever, you know. And then the person that you inhabit, the story always ends, the taking always ends with that person committing suicide. But what happens in this movie that made it so interesting is that our main character inhabits this other person, but then it gets a little bit screwy because the person that they inhabit all of a sudden sort of tries to take some control back.
Oh.
So at the end, at the peak when she's supposed to be checking out, the person who she's inhabiting is there's like a fight for who's going to control the hand that may or may not pull the trigger to commit suicide.
Okay.
Fascinating. So what have I said so far? The Matrix, Inception, and then I would add this because the ending is incredibly disappointing. It's like the Coen brothers. You go on this incredibly long journey. And again, I hope I'm clear. This is a great movie. This is a really interesting movie. It was exciting. It was thought provoking. It was not sort of, I didn't think it was cookie cutter. But at the end of the movie sort of winds up, and that's sort of that, you know, you're sort of left like, what the heck? So anyway, that's my take on The Possessor.
Would you recommend it?
I would definitely recommend it. And the main character is Hanukkah. I don't Hanukkah Talbot, but that can't be how you say her name. Maybe it's Hanique. I don't know. But she was apparently in Star Trek Discovery and Ready or Not and the Titans. What I took away from this movie is I want to see whatever movie she's doing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She has some movies that are coming out. She's in The Wolf, which is a short movie, so we won't get it there. But she's in a movie coming out. I'm sorry, it came out. Cicada 3301. I don't know. Anyway, she was amazing. The acting in this movie was amazing. Jennifer Jason Leigh, if we all remember her from the 80s, she has a sort of supporting role, I guess is the best way to sort of say that one. But yeah, so I would definitely recommend The Possessor. it's hard to watch. I would not recommend it to people who don't do well with violence and gore and blood and guts.
Duly noted.
Duly noted. But yeah, noted. It was an interesting movie. I'm glad I watched it. Yeah. Yep. I don't know what we're watching next week, but I also watched Empty Man.
Oh.
Which is another horror movie that I recommend a little bit. Like, if you're choosing between the two, I would go see Possessor.
Okay.
Empty Man looks good, or I'm sorry, Empty Man was good, but I just feel like I've seen that movie before.
Okay.
You know, it's a bunch of kids, and they summon an evil spirit, and then a grown-up comes to help them, and then he gets mixed up in it, and blah, blah, blah.
When does Freaky come out?
When does what?
Freaky.
That's like November.
Oh, bummer. I just assumed it'd be Halloween. Well, we can talk about that at the end, what we're going to watch. But moving on to listeners' notes, questions, answers, and such. The feedback we got this week, last week we put out a challenge that said anyone who's willing to get out there and sidewalk chalk up their driveway for Penn Cinema could win some nice little prize pack.
What was interesting about this challenge was not so much the challenge itself, although that was fun. What was interesting to me about this challenge is, you know, when you're watching a TV show and or any sort of a thing and it, like, for lack of a better word, like goes to credits.
Yeah, yeah.
And you like pretty much stand up and leave the theater.
Right.
Right. Or like, you know, the music's playing and you know it's going to be the end of that episode or something like that. So this challenge that we posed to our beloved listeners came as we were wrapping up the final moments of the episode. I even remember saying to you, like, not that anybody is still listening to this episode, but right. If they are, right? So we got an immediate reply. And then I got a reply on the side from another one of our listeners. So we got a couple replies, but I will further extend our challenge before we talk about the big winner this week.
Okay.
But I will further extend the challenge. If you send us a picture of something you drew on the sidewalk that says the Penn Cinema Podcast with some sort of, you know, illustration, could be a stick figure, could be like a rainbow, could be a motivational quote like the Mystery Gobble did, which we'll talk about in a minute. Or like a suggested a new tagline, which is what the Gobble, you know, posted. If you do that, I will send to you, dear listener, free passes to Penn Cinema.
Oh, boy.
What's up?
What's up?
All right. So immediately upon listening to the podcast, the Mystery Gobble, dear friend of mine, pulls over. He could wait no longer. He immediately pulled his car over on the middle of a busy road. Traffic, taking his life into his own hands, reaches over into his glove compartment where he keeps his sidewalk chalk.
Yeah, of course.
You know, jumps out of the car and writes Penn Cinema Podcast in big chalk letters with a very pretty rainbow. Now that in and of itself is enough to warrant the completion of the challenge and the free prizes. But, you know, Scott's not just a regular guy.
No.
No, he does not just do things halfway.
No.
He thought to himself, what could I do? What could I contribute to this podcast that he listens to every week? This is a devoted regular listener. What could I give them to help promote the movie? And he thought to himself, How about I help them with a new slogan? So that's what he did.
Penn Cinema Podcast. Pants optional.
Pants optional. You bet. You can listen to the Penn Cinema Podcast if you're wearing pants.
Or not.
But if you're not, that's okay too.
No judgment.
They are optional.
This is a no judgment zone.
This is a no judgment pants free zone. You want to wear pants? Great. You don't want to wear pants? That's fine too.
Then don't.
You want to wear a skirt? Great. A dress, a hula hoop, whatever you want to wear, we're cool with it.
All we're saying is don't put that pants pressure on us.
Right.
It's up to you.
Right.
Right. I'm not ready for that kind of responsibility.
That's a lot to ask a couple of schmoes like us.
You're right. What was the second one that you got?
Thank you very much for that incredible picture. The Penn Cinema Podcast, pants optional.
Pants optional. You said you got another one, though?
Yeah, I got a sidebar one.
Okay, cool. Cool. Very cool. All right. Well, let's get into what are you watching? What are you doing? What's been going on with you this week? You said Empty Man.
Yeah.
So you watched that. Did you catch anything else? Do anything else?
I did. I watched a movie. You know how you watch movies on Netflix or whatever platform, and then you move on to something else?
Yeah.
But then there's other movies where you watch them on Netflix, and you all of a sudden have to tell everybody you see that you watched it and that they should watch it too.
Right.
Yeah. So this is one of those second ones.
Oh.
This is a movie called The Trial of the Chicago Seven, and it stars Sacha Baron Cohen, however you say that, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Eddie Redmayne. It's directed by Aaron Sorkin. It's a new movie that just came out on Netflix, but it takes place, it's a retelling of a true story, the trial of the Chicago Seven, who, according to the federal authorities that prosecuted them, incited riots at the 1968 Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Anybody who's a fan of Crosby, Stills, and Nash knows all about, you know, what went down at that convention, and the protest eras. And it's an incredibly, first of all, in a vacuum with nothing else going on in the world, it's a great story. It's a great movie. It's well told. It's gripping. It's entertaining. It's fascinating. The acting is spectacular. Of course, Aaron Sorkin is amazing. So it's a great movie. I would venture to say, without trying to turn this podcast political, I will just say that this movie is relevant to what's going on in the world today. So I'll just say that. I'll just say that, as our friend Hal Lord would say, let me just say this about that. It's relevant to the world that we are currently living in. Easy for you to say, bucko. So anyway, Trial of the Chicago 7, I strongly recommend it. Empty Man, good enough. Not great, but good enough. And then also, I'm still reading that book I told you about last week, 1999, the best movie year ever.
Wow. Wow.
When I'm done with the book, I'm going to bring it over to your house and loan it to you.
Sweet deal.
What are you watching?
Well, like I said, I was not well this week, so I had a lot of time at home, and that meant a lot of weird views.
So you're all doped up.
Mm-hmm. When I was in the hospital, I saw the last half of Back to the Future 3, which was immediately followed up by the first half of Back to the Future 1. So I got to see neither of them fully through, but I got to see half of both. And that is a weird time, but I love those movies. Here's one. You talked about the Coen brothers. A movie that I had never seen that I was really confused about, because when it came out, I remember it being like this big hit, this big drama and everything. And as the years progressed on more and more, I keep hearing about how funny this movie is and how it spawned a TV show, and the TV show is kind of funny or whatever. And I never got it. I was like, nothing about this looks funny to me. So I watched Fargo. Right? Which is a perfectly fine movie.
I love, by the way, just for the record, I'm here is, can't wait to hear what you say about it, but just so that we set the stage.
Yeah.
I love this movie. Amy hates this movie. And we often quote it because there's a great quote in the line where the husband and wife are in bed, like watching TV, reading the paper or whatever. And the wife says, I'm turning in. And then she rolls over and goes to sleep.
Yeah. He's already asleep. He's like, oh, yeah.
All right. So sorry to interrupt. Go ahead with Fargo.
I don't get it. Here's my thing. It's a good movie, but it's totally a Coen Brothers movie. You know what I mean? Like, all this build up and all this stuff, and then the movie ends and you're like, wait,
what?
Why did he need the money? Like, they never explained why he needed the money other than he made some bad deal. And yeah, like, do I like Fargo? Yes. Do I get it? No.
No.
I also don't get I don't get why it's become more and more of like a cult comedy. I
mean, you know, David, can we say that that's how I feel about life?
You like it, but you don't get it.
Do I like it? I love it. I'm having a ball. This is great. Do I get it? Not at all.
Not at all. Nope. Nope.
I'm completely clueless, totally out of the loop.
That sounds about right. Also, last week we talked about how I might be taking a plunge, a dangerous dip, into a world I promised I'd never dip into.
Right.
CBS All Access. And less than 24 hours after our conversation, I had subscribed to the dreaded service just for Star Trek Discovery, which I will say season 3 is perfectamundo. It's so good. It's like what I've always wanted it to be. First two seasons were not so great. Season 3, really good so far. And I've dipped into Star Trek Lower Decks, which is the animated show. I don't know if I really like it, but I'll keep at it because it's Star Trek. Do what you gotta do. And then the other big news for this week, Penn, is I finished the book that I was reading, and I'm going to start, hold your horses, the brand new Dune book. Just came out. Duke of Caladan. It's going to happen. I know you don't even know how to get started on these Dune books, but I'm like 26 books in.
I'm so excited. I don't even know where to start.
I'm not afraid of another Dune book.
No, you ain't scared.
I ain't scared. So anyway, that's what's been going on with me. So
that's a riot.
So next week, what are we going to do? Now, I mean, well, Donut King, but is it that too short of a time period?
What do you mean too short of a time period?
Well, it doesn't come out till Friday.
Yeah. The two big movies that we have this week are The Donut King and Come Play. Do you remember Come Play? We watched a horror. It's a horror movie.
It's a horror movie.
Are you down for this, or do you want to just keep it? Let's watch The Donut King. It's an hour and a half. It's easy peasy.
Yeah, let's watch The Donut King. Because I don't like you to be scared. Yeah.
I think The Donut King is a good pick for me because I am definitely going to watch it. So I don't have to worry about like trying to make time to like find it.
Yeah, it works. So we don't want to put that pressure on.
No pressure. No pressure to watch movies. No pressure for pants. This is free to be you and me.
That's right. Hey, look, if you want to be free to be you, the best way you can do that is go ahead and email us.
I thought you were going to say, if you want to be free to be you, the best way to do that is to be free to be me.
Also true. But you can get in touch with us and be a part of the show at podcast@penncinema.com. And if you want to support the show, the number one way to do that is to what, Penn?
Write Sidewalk Chalk, Penn Cinema Podcast, on your sidewalk in front of your house.
That's right.
And in fact, what I would do, what all the cool kids are doing, is drawing it on the sidewalk in front of their house with an arrow pointing to your house.
Yeah.
It says, come on in, pants optional. I don't think anything bad could possibly come from that.
That's got to be the number one most accessible thing to do.
Well, it's the most common. I mean, we see it all the time.
Right. Everywhere.
Right. I can't leave the house without somebody walking around in their tighty whities telling people about the Penn Cinema podcast. Oh, David, I forgot to tell you.
Oh, my gosh.
I was on BBC again. The British newscast. Yeah, they called me up for a follow-up.
Okay.
And I did a whole big proper interview, with the kind where the producer calls you like a few days in advance and like pre-screens you. And then you like a couple days later, you do it with the actual host. So I did that again, second time, super cool. But I want you to look up and see if we have any downloads from England.
Oh, okay.
Because I told the producer that he should really be listening to the show. And he was like, oh, bloody well, mate.
Bloody well.
Bloody well, mate. That's a solid, jolly good idea, mate.
Did this air yet?
I believe it aired a couple days ago, but it may not have because the guy was going to send me a link and I didn't get the link yet. So I need to remember to email him and try to get a copy of the link.
Bet you it aired on Wednesday.
Why? We got a download?
We got a big uptake on Wednesday, so I'll have to look and see where it happened.
Ooh, baby, I just want you to know something. When I'm big time, I won't forget my old friends.
You promise?
David's like, oh, I thought that was going to be my ticket to get rid of you.
I thought that was like, oh, okay.
all right, fuck for another 88 episodes. Here we go. Cheeky bastard.
All right. Well, once again, for the Penn Center Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care.
Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.